Look, I don't normally do this, but this is an emergency message. It has to get out. James Fishback is within 5% of Byron Donalds. No, this is not a fake poll. This is not something from the Donalds campaign or Jay Collins or Fishback or anybody else. This is a real, legitimate poll polling the early voting, right? Not just making phone calls to people. They are polling on the ground right now in the early voting for the primary. Right? And they are able to look at those numbers and tell with an extreme amount of accuracy that James Fishback is within 5%. That is striking distance, within 5% of Byron Donalds right now. And that is the leading, most accurate indicator of what the final election, come election day, August 18th, next Tuesday, will end up being. Right now, Byron Donalds is about 35%, James is about 30, and Jay Collins is about 20, 21%. So here's the deal. A vote for Jay Collins is a vote for a Democrat. I'm going to say it again. You need to hear it. This is how politics works. A vote for Jay Collins is a vote for Florida to be blue. Why? Because if you vote for Collins, instead of taking that energy, throwing it behind Fishback, then Byron wins. And if Byron wins, I'm not saying he's a Democrat, although I can make that argument. If Byron wins, the polls have been clear for months now that Byron loses to the Democrat who's running for governor. The only person who beats the Democrat is James Fishback. And he's 5% away from Donalds, from Byron Donalds, the Trump-endorsed candidate, right now. We have a week to go, a week on the clock. James Fishback and his team are running like a machine. They are making 25,000 phone calls every single day, and they are not stopping. It is a sprint to the finish. They have been running this whole time for months, and now it is a sprint to the finish. We need to double those phone calls from 25,000 to 50,000 for the next week, the next 7 days, and James can win. And he will be Florida's governor come next year. We got to double the phone calls. Volunteer your time. I forget the website. Just Google Fishback Call Center. James Fishback Call Center. You can click on the website, get signed up easily to volunteer. Just make 2 or 3 or at most 5 phone calls each day between now and next Tuesday, August 18th, and call on August 18th. Make as many calls as you can, but even if it's just 2 or 3 or 5 phone calls a day, if we triple the number of volunteers making calls, the calls will increase. We can get it from 25,000 to 50,000. That can bridge the gap of the 5% that James is polling down below Byron's right now. He can win, not by a landslide, I'm going to shoot you straight, but he can win by a margin. There is no runoff in Florida. If James wins by one vote, then he gets to go in the general against the Democrat in which he is polling in every single scenario to win. If we can get James up 5% with the call centers and by you getting your friends and family, if you live in Florida, to vote for James Fishback, if we can do that, he can barely beat Donalds. And if he barely beats Donalds, as a wise man once said, it doesn't matter if he win by an inch or a mile. A win is a win. One vote above Donalds, he becomes the Republican candidate. And he will, according to all the polls, beat the Democrat. And we will then have a Christian nationalist patriot as a governor of the third most significant state in the Union. You say you care about Christian nationalism, you care about the life of the unborn. James Fishback is the only one who has called abortion murder and said, promised, and signed a legal document to hold him to his promise that he will shut down every single abortion clinic in the state of Florida. Nobody else is talking like that. He is the most pro-life candidate, the most Christian candidate, and the most patriotic candidate. If you're a Christian nationalist, if you're an abolitionist, if you're pro-life, if you are an American patriot, if you're simply just even a MAGA Republican or even a neocon that doesn't want a Democrat in office, the choice is clear. You must vote for James Fishback because the Democrat will beat Byron Donalds. You have to vote for James Fishback, and all of you patriots, you need to do beyond just voting yourself. You need to volunteer. This includes guys who are out of the state of Florida, like myself. Volunteer your time. Google James Fishback Call Center. Give some time. Make some calls. 1 week on the clock. Let's get it done.
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
All right, welcome back, folks. You just heard a little call to action by Joel Wevin. Get out the vote for James Fishback. Exit polls from the early voting show him within 5 points. That is striking distance of Byron Donalds. And it would be absolutely incredible if James Fishback could become governor of Florida. So if you want to help out with that, you know, I just had the URL. I believe it's phonefishback.com. Phonefishback.com. You can contribute to that. And, you know, it's one Republican absolutely worthy of voting for James Fishback, in my opinion. We should probably get him on the show before the time limit runs out. So Fishback for Florida, phone bank for Fishback. Find the URL there. Okay. We'll go to your calls here. And then get into TOCA and some of the other developments with Israel. But first, Friendly in Minnesota, thanks so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, can you hear me?
Yes, you're fine. Go ahead.
Hi, Harrison. So I'm a bit disappointed that this is the topic of the day. I get it's the biggest story on the internet, but it's been a slow news day. And I'll explain why. I think we need to start applying a litmus test to the political content that we consume. And that litmus test is very simple. Does it move the needle and does it save our race? That's all I care about. And people have a very short memory. People don't remember who Candace Owens was. She is a grifter. She's an idiot. She had a whole website dedicated to doxing anyone right of her, any potential influencer that could unseat her from her power. She's not very smart. It's all political fanfare. It's political theater. It's political histrionics. And as for Andrew, he's your typical internet intellectual egghead who's more concerned with protecting his fragile ego with rhetoric rather than providing solutions. I've never heard either one of them provide a solution ever. It's like this Lindsey Clancy murder case. My girlfriend brought this to my attention. I had never heard of it. And
give people a run. I know what you're talking about, but give people a rundown in case they don't know.
It's a psyop. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's white man bad, basically. Well, it's a drama because one of these parents killed their three kids and maybe one set up the other, and it's all stupid.
But basically the mother is accused of suffocating three children, and she had a long history of like mental illness, and apparently like they thought she was doing better, so the dad went out to get groceries, and when he came back he found his children dead, and she had cut her wrist and jumped out the window, and I guess she fractured her spine, but people are saying that it didn't look like she was actually trying to kill herself, like the cuts weren't deep enough to do any actual damage. And apparently this woman has a bunch of supporters, mostly female supporters like TikTok users, that are either claiming that she's framed by the husband or that she was suffering a real mental illness and it was the husband's fault anyway. So just in case people don't know the case you're talking about, I think that's more or less the facts, right?
Yep, you nailed it. Yeah, it's political theater is what it is. It's crime, drama, goy slop. That's all it is. And so I think we need to take these things seriously, because the biggest lie that the media tells is not the lies that they tell, it's the truths that they don't tell.
Right.
And by getting people to hyper-focus on something that does not move the needle, that's how we are divided. And we're out of time, guys. There are hundreds of thousands of white men, women, and children who are raped and killed and sold into slavery and human trafficked every single year. But you don't hear about that, do you? You hear about the goy slop. Mm-hmm. And we need to reject the goy slop. And this too, I love Alex, but he's been on one this week about this, Huckabee's turning against Israel and Trump and even this J.D. Vance crap, RFK Jr. It's too late. That doesn't move the needle. How many times do we have to win the Fell For It Again award? How many times, like a stray dog, do we have to gobble up this red meat? We're out of time, folks. We need to be concerned with solutions only, period, because we're on our own.
Well, let me ask you this. When it comes to somebody like Candace Owens or even Tucker Carlson, people that I see as the enemy are very concerned about it and seem very angry about what they're saying. So to me, I'm sort of like, okay, if my enemies hate this, there's got to be something to it. It doesn't mean, of course, you support it just because your enemies hate it, but it's certainly a reason to look at it carefully. And then, I mean, what do you say? Because I agree with you, maybe not completely, but I agree with you more or less. I don't think Candace is an idiot per se. I don't think, she provides that much value if you watch her show. And I've said this forever. I'm like, I'll watch her show looking for a clip. I do a 3-hour show a day. I'd love to get a clip where it's like, look at what Candace revealed. Isn't this a bombshell thing? And there's just nothing there. So I get that. But it's like her popularity cannot be ignored. Clearly, there's something compelling about this. And it's like, what do you do with this gigantic millions of like wine moms that are obsessed with Candace Owens and watching her every second? I mean, this is a lot of people. This could be a useful population to activate politically. Even if they're not, totally on the money, they seem to be doing some amount of damage to the general, Israeli propaganda efforts. I'm just trying to push back a little bit and just kind of ask you, like, what. Because to me, because I completely agree with you, and like I said earlier, you watched the chat of the debate, and I think I was watching it on, it must have been Candace Owens' channel, because it was simulcast on PBD and Crucible and Candace Owens. And the chat, I'm just like, oh my God, these people. And it's like kind of, it's kind of blackpilling being like, how can so many people not be able to apply logic to this? But like, that is the fact. That is the case. I mean, these people exist, and maybe some of them are bots, but most of them are real people, and they're dedicated to this. And I don't know. I have a hard time just sort of ignoring it. I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? That there's something there that Candace is tapping into. I don't know if ignoring it is the right thing. How could we actually turn this to our advantage? Any ideas about that?
I get it, and forgive me for sounding jaded. I've been in the movement for a long time, man, and
yeah.
I've seen this so many times before. And to be honest, I'm a national socialist, right? So right. Of course, if we're going to criticize the Jews in Israel, I'm all for it. But Alex is right in a lot of ways. We got to focus on Chinese. We got to focus on the big tech. We got to focus on a bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
And I think the reason why this is allowed is because I think long term this will actually demonize the movement, much like what happened with all of the like Waco and Ruby Ridge back in the 90s. The purpose of that was to discredit the movement and make people scared.
Yeah.
And I know psyops. I know how they work. And it's just this ain't my first rodeo, mm-hmm. And maybe we can wake up some of them people. And I'm glad that, although I'm a bit bitter, I'm glad that we can at least talk about things like the JQ and stuff like that now. Because I got homies in prison all over the world doing time in prison because it was hard to do it back then.
Yeah.
And they paid their dues. And I haven't heard anyone shout out the greats, the shoulders of giants that we stand upon. And I just don't find it productive. And honestly, if it's the kind of person who's going to latch on to that entertainmentism and not apply the litmus test, I don't think those people are going to be very valuable, because we need to be in solution mode and not celebrity gossip mode. Hmm. And I think that's really all this is. It's a crime drama.
It is. Obviously, true crime is a gigantic genre of content now that, you know, Candace Owens has tapped into a little bit, largely female, you know, middle class women love true crime. It's been true forever. And there's, you know, a certain element of that. And there was something else you mentioned that I was going to comment on as well, because, yeah, no, I agree with you. It's all debate. Oh, well, just the celebrity gossip. Like, I forget. But, like, every once in a while, I'll go back and I'll listen to, like, for a while, I liked listening to the old, like, Opie and Anthony radio show from, like, the early 2000s. And you forget that, like, 90% of what people talked about back then was celebrities. It's sort of fallen by the wayside. Celebrities have discredited themselves. Nobody likes celebrities or respects them anymore. So, and they're not quite this, like, you know, these figures. They all have accounts now, so you can see exactly who they are, and people don't really like them. But, like, I think we forget that before Donald Trump, people didn't talk about politics. They talked about celebrities all the time. So I think when politics came in and everything came political and the celebrity gossip kind of fell by the wayside, now there's this weird kind of enmeshment, this merger of the two, where people have this desire to hear the gossip, to hear the drama, to hear the personalities clash with each other. And that's merged and morphed into politics. So you now have, like, TMZ is now on Capitol Hill. You know, they're following this trend. So certainly it's like we no longer have the celebrity gossip, but the celebrity gossip is now inextricably bound with the political gossip, and it certainly doesn't portend well. Really appreciate the call, Friendly, and appreciate you holding, and you're always super, super informed. Would love to have you call back in again soon, but let's go now to who's been on longer. It looks like Buck. Buck in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for holding. You're on the air, Buck.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Japan real quick, but since you mentioned it about Candace Owens, I haven't heard you mention that she's a self-admitted Mason. And I think the other guy is, so it was like a Mason. But yeah, she admitted on her show, and then she had the Masonic Bible on her table.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's clips on it online. You can look it up.
Well,
said it after the Charlie Kirk assassination, like not to mess with her because she's a Mason.
Was she joking? Because I happen to know that you cannot be Catholic and a Mason at the same time. So she's very clearly Catholic. I mean, if the Catholic Church finds out you're a Mason, they don't let you take communion. So I would be suspicious of that. I thought she talks about, you know, Masons. I thought, you know, that was part of her conspiracies. You know, she gets into that sort of stuff. I would be very surprised if she was connected to the Masons at all. But you're right.
She said it herself online. She said it on herself on video during one of her streams after the Kirk assassination. But anyway, I called because you were speaking about Japan the other day, and we both have a fondness for that country, and they're kind of dealing with similar struggles as like Europe and America. And I was over there for vacation and talking with them, and they're really red-pilled over there, surprisingly.
Right.
They were telling me about how they live with their eels that they eat. They eat a lot of eels that they feed the baby eels and pregnant eels a lot of soy to turn them into women.
Oh.
There's like still that big soy epidemic we have, like all those delicious free sauces at the fast food restaurants from Chick-fil-A or any of the places, all are just soy bombs. And, you know, we got to prevent the soy boy epidemic. And they were telling me about how obviously they were super suspicious with the COVID vax because, you know, them living in Tokyo, they're so close together. They're all about vaccination and, you know, they're very healthy people, and they were dropping left and right. And on the same note, actually, on a little sidebar with COVID, we spoke about it before, and it's kind of been brought back up in the news with the Fauci cell phone disclosures about the pregnancies, something to take in the note. You brought it up during your show that the only country that did not have a decrease in fertility issues was Israel, which is kind of like a smoking gun, I think, you know, and a point that should be brought up.
Well, and RFK Jr. Brought that up as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You read my mind. I think it's something that needs to get addressed, like how they were able to avoid that, what's that situation over there. And I thought that was an important thing, especially seeing on X that Jones is collecting clips in relation to Israel's blitzkrieg, you know, throughout the world, like you're saying, like they're even going into Colombia now, you know. And I don't know, part of me kind of like understands where they're coming from, because they're playing dirty and they're such a small country, 15 million, you know. But on the other hand, you know, it's like they became like the exact monsters that they railed against, like with Hitler and stuff. Like they're basically doing Hitler's playbook, you know, to a T.
This is the frustrating thing, is if you apply their own standards to them, like we should be at war with them. Like, I talked about this, had a post go semi-viral yesterday, the day before, talking about the German Templar sect in Palestine. And of course I bring it up to point out that, you know, a bunch of German Lutherans in the late 1800s moved to Palestine and created a thriving colony, essentially, but never had any problems with the locals. Like they just, you know, joined the Palestinian society and helped found schools and hospitals and all this sort of stuff. And so, of course, I point out that when the Eastern European Jews arrived and decided we have to kill everybody, it's not because they tried to be nice and it didn't work. They arrived with sort of a murderous mindset. And I was pointing this out, that it seems to be the only solution. You even hear it now with Mark Levin going, you've got to kill these people. You can't talk to them. You can't negotiate with them. All they understand is force. And it's like, okay, that's what you said in 1948. You're still fighting that battle. So where's the proof? But I brought up the Templar sect again to illustrate the difference. And if you watch the Off Limits News episode about Rise and Kill First, where I talk about the Templar sect, it's like the people. So there were these Germans. They were living in Palestine during World War One. I believe they were actually like interned by the British. Like the British saw them as foreign enemies. They were German, so they interred them during World War One, and then they were let out. And then during World War Two, a lot of the Germans in Palestine went back to Germany to fight for the Nazis. And then when they lost, they returned to Palestine. Long story, you know, this is a long story, but the point is that the leadership of the German Templars were murdered by the proto-Israelis. Israel didn't exist as a state, but the sort of terrorist groups that would eventually form the IDF killed all the leadership of these Germans and then took over their neighborhood, and that became the headquarters of the IDF, and I believe it still is to this day. And the people who did the murder are, you know, they have quotes where they're like, these Germans, you know, they came back after the war and they thought they could get away with, you know, taking Jewish people's stuff. And basically one of the leaders of this German Templar sect during the war had confiscated Jewish people's stuff, or helped in sort of the rounding up of Jewish people and confiscating their property and kicking them out of neighborhoods. And so to the Jews in Israel who killed them, like that was the crime, was like, you dispossessed Jewish people, you stole their stuff, you forced them out of their homes, you sent them to camps. And my thing is, that's literally what happened to these very Germans in World War One. So if taking somebody's stuff and forcing them to leave the land that they consider their home is enough to kill them, then what do you deserve? Then what do the Israelis deserve, right? So it's like, if that's the standard, well, they took Jewish people's stuff, so they're our enemy, and they, you know, we get to kill them. And it's like, okay, but literally 10 years ago, it was the British with the Jews in mandatory Palestine who confiscated the German stuff and sent the Germans to camps. So, you know, what standard are we holding people to here? And this is repeated, you know, continuously here in America and, you know, all over the world in the current manifestation of Israel, where it's the same type of thing. It's like, well, they, you know, threatened us, so we get to destroy them. And it's like, well, what are you guys doing? Clearly, if we treated Jews in the way that, you know, with the same standard that Jews seem to hold for other people, then we'd have to declare them our enemy and try to destroy them. And it's very unfortunate. It's maybe not a very healthy mindset, but it's our resistance to that mindset that's probably their greatest strength at this point. I think that makes so. Hopefully you can tell what I'm saying here. But I mean, this is when you read Rise and Kill First, when you hear them talk. I mean, they have this idea of like, if there's any potential that they could ever do any damage to Israel, or if they criticize us, or if they try to charge us with war crimes, then we get to destroy them. It's like, is that really the standard you want to set? And if so, then you really can't be mad if other people treat you in exactly the same way. That's where a lot of the so-called persecution comes from. Thank you for the call, Buck. Let's go quickly to who's next here. Who's been on the longest? Cody in Tennessee, of course. Go to Cody in Tennessee. He wants to talk about the debate. Go ahead, Cody. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Harrison. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just want to drop the Shilajit gummies. They're awesome. So is methylene blue and red. Couldn't do my job.
JonesStore.com. Go there today.
Yeah. You know it. Okay. Yeah, I honestly think it's just to demoralize us, like, because you don't see anything getting done, like, with Fauci and with the debate. Like you said, it's just, like, kind of back and forth. I didn't see it. I mean, I believe your essence of it. So, like, it just seems to me they're trying to demoralize us so we don't go do stuff, like, in our own counties and states. Like, I mean, I love Japan too, and I love our foreign, not Israel so much because they got us into this, but, you know, I think we should focus on us. Like, we need a top down style, like, just reassemblance of our whole governmental organization, because, I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? Top down.
100%. Well, and, you know, when it comes to, like, things around the world, like, I'm not necessarily an isolationist, but like, there are things going on that we are not addressing at all, that I would genuinely be, I'd be so happy if the American military was used to, like, destroy the Chinese fishing fleets. That'd be amazing. Like, that would be one war I'd actually be in favor of. If Donald Trump came out and said the Chinese are destroying the fisheries all around the world, they're draining the ocean of all of its life, and we're not going to stand it, and we're going to bomb the hell out of them, I'd be like, great. Great. We're actually saving the earth. We're actually addressing a literal threat to all of life in the ocean. These freaking Chinese cities, floating cities, they call them, thousands and thousands and thousands of boats parked just off the coast of places like Chile and Argentina, and just destroying all life in the ocean and then moving on to the next spot. Like, stuff like that, I would actually want to prioritize. I think we should actually concern ourselves with that. In the same way, I don't want to spend a single dollar to support Israel's territorial ambitions in Lebanon. Like, screw that. I'd rather give the money to Lebanon and let them have their way with Israel personally. But if you were telling me we're spending, you know, $100 billion because we're, you know, airdropping in paratroopers to protect the rhinos from going extinct, I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of that. I would love to see America actually protect God's creation by preventing the Chinese from eating it all, or the Africans from slaughtering it all. I think America could do great things around the world. It's just everything we do is always terrible for everyone. Here, overseas, it's just endless stupidity, retardation, destruction, madness, chaos. And meanwhile, we're sitting here debating about Candace Owens.
Fight for our sovereignty, but to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but you know, didn't really really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10, but now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you know, getmasterpiece.com, the masterpiece, is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission, you got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
New break flavor, bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these break gummies. Get yours now.
All new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh yeah, baby.
The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. The AlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Remember, the easiest way to support us is simply by sharing the content. Of course, you can follow me at Harrison H. Smith on X. I routinely tweet out all the clips from the show. If you can spread those around, download them yourself, upload them yourself. Everything's free to air, of course. It's easy and free to share our content and help us get this information out there, since that's what it's all about. Now, we covered earlier this week the very suspicious connection between the Flock camera surveillance array, and a company called Toka, T-O-K-A. And it was discovered that Andreessen Horowitz was an investor in both of these companies, and their connection is highly suspicious because one of the things that this company Toka provides is the ability to alter security camera footage. So if you have Flock, which is supposed to be this surveillance apparatus controlled by and working for our law enforcement, but they also have access to this company that can come up with AI video and replace it in real time. Yeah, that's a bit of an issue. And so people started looking into this Toka company, and actually Whitney Webb had done a lot of investigation and reporting on this all the way back in 2021. This is from unlimitedhangout.com. That's Whitney Webb's Substack. From July of 2021, meet Toka, the most dangerous Israeli spy firm you've never heard of. Now, this happened in the aftermath of an investigation into Israeli Intelligence Unit 8200 using the Pegasus system to spy on individuals around the world. While the NSO group has become infamous, other Israeli companies with even deeper ties to Israelis' intelligence apparatus have been selling software that not only provides the exact same services to governments and intelligence agencies as Pegasus, but purports to go even further. Originally founded by former Israeli Prime Minister and Jeffrey Epstein associate Ehud Barak, one of these companies' wares are being used by countries around the world, including in developing countries, with direct facilitation of global institutions like the Inter-American Development Bank and the World Bank. In addition, the software was only made available to governments that are, quote unquote, trusted by Israel's government, which, quote, works closely with the company. Despite the fact this firm has been around since 2018 and was covered in detail by Whitney Webb in 2020, no mainstream outlet, including those who have extensively covered the NSO group, have bothered to examine the implications of this story. So they say it's worse than Pegasus. Toka was launched in 2018 with the explicit purpose of selling a, quote, tailored ecosystem of cyber capabilities and software products for governmental, law enforcement, and security agencies. According to a profile of the company published in Forbes shortly after it launched, Toka advertised itself as a, quote, one-stop hacking shop for governments that require extra capability to fight terrorists and other threats to national security in the digital domain. Toka launched with plans to, quote, provide spy tools for whatever device its clients require, including not only smartphones, but special focus on the so-called Internet of Things. Per the company, this includes devices like Amazon Echo, Google Nest connected home products, as well as connected fridges, thermostats, and alarms. Exploits in these products discovered by Toka, the company said at the time, would not be disclosed to vendors, meaning those flaws would continue to remain vulnerable to any hacker, whether a client of Toka or not. So basically, it allows them to obtain targeted intelligence, conduct forensic investigations, as well as covert operations. Toka offers governments its cyber designer service, which provides agencies with a full spectrum of strategies, customized projects, and technologies needed to keep critical infrastructure, the digital landscape, and government institutions secure and durable. The problem is, not only can it easily be abused and used to hack devices for nefarious purposes, but it is absolutely inextricable and practically one thing with the Israeli government. Intelligence agencies use these tools for purposes of obtaining blackmail. The use of blackmail by Israeli security agencies against civilian Palestinians to attempt to weaken Palestinian society and for political persecution is well documented. Toka has been described by market analysts as an offensive security company. Although the company's leadership rejected this characterization, the company's co-founder and current CEO, Yaron Rosen, asserted that, as opposed to purely offensive, the company's operations are something in the middle, which he classifies as bridging cyber defense and offensive cyber capabilities, e.g. hacking. The company's activities are concerning in light of the fact that Toka has directly partnered with Israel's Ministry of Defense and other Israeli intelligence and security agencies since its founding. The company works closely with these government agencies, according to an Israeli Ministry of Defense website. This collaboration, per Toka, is meant to enhance their products. Toka's direct IDF links are in contrast to the NSO group, a company that does not maintain overt ties with the Israeli security state. But Toka's direct collaboration with Israel's government is also made clear through its claims that it sells its products and offers its services only to quote-unquote trusted governments, law enforcement agencies, and intelligence agencies. Toka's Rosen has stated that Russia, China, and other enemy countries would never be customers of the country, In other words, only countries aligned with Israeli policy goals, particularly in occupied Palestine, are permitted to be customers and gave access to this trove of powerful hacking tools. This is consistent with Israeli government efforts to leverage Israel's high-tech sector as a means of countering the boycott, divest, and sanction movement globally. So again, this was all the way back in 2021. Toka's just hit the headlines again because of the relationship between some of its investors who also invest in Flock. The thing is, this is clearly all part of the same movement, right? We just had David Barnea put as head of a company very similar to Toka, very similar to Palantir. which is using hundreds of millions of dollars to buy up auxiliary AI companies to basically be the main umbrella corporation that has in its purview all these various AI warfighting platforms, including hacking and digital attacks, but also fighting robots and, you know, battlefield coordination and strategy. And of course, it's being run by the ex-head of Mossad. And of course, you have all of these Israel loyal people, whether it's Larry Ellison or Alex Karp, Palantir and Oracle, and all of these things have AI warfighting powers. And basically, Israel decided we're going to send people into America to take control of the big tech companies, to feed us information, to more consolidate our control over America. I mean, it's a very public and obvious plan they're carrying out, design they're carrying out. The company, Toka, was founded by Ehud Barak, Alon Kantor, Kafir Waldman, and a retired IDF Brigadier General Yaron Rosen. Rosen, the firm's founding CEO and now co-CEO, is the former chief of the IDF's cyber staff, where he was the, quote, lead architect of all IDF cyber activities, including those executed by Israeli Military Intelligence Unit 8200. Alon Kantor is the former vice president of business development for Checkpoint Software, a software and hardware company founded by Unit 8200 veterans. Kafir Waldman is the former CEO of GoArc and former director of engineering at technology giant Cisco. Cisco is a leader in the field of Internet of Things devices and IoT cybersecurity, while GoArc focuses on appliances for mobile devices. As previously mentioned, Toka hacks not only mobile devices, but also has a special focus on hacking IoT devices. So what does it mean when Cisco and Palantir and, you know, Larry Ellison, all these, Apple as well, like, what happens when every big tech company is owned by an Israeli, and many of them, practically most of them, are owned by people with not just connections to Israeli intelligence, but like long careers in Israeli intelligence? Of course, they put an Israeli government operative, the Minister of Internal Affairs or whatever it was, at the head of the oversight board on Facebook. You basically have this, you know, colonization project where the people at the top of all these companies are all literally agents of Israeli intelligence. And you never stop being an intelligence agent. It's like the mafia. Like, once you're read in, once you get the secret data, like, you're in. And you either are in or you die. You don't leave. You don't retire. You don't just hang up your hat and say goodnight. You're always in it. You're always an asset. You're always working for them. Because that's just the way that it works. And also, you know, Mossad, I'm not sure they've ever actually been officially codified into, you know, the Israeli government. And, you know, when Mossad first started for years, I've covered this on the show before, like, you weren't allowed to say the words Shin Bet or Mossad. It was illegal in Israel to say the words Shin Bet or Mossad for the first, like, 40 years until, like, the late 60s when they finally admitted these things existed. So if you can't even mention them, then they certainly aren't actually established in the official constitution or the official government project. So, like, in America, somebody put forward a bill, there's a congressman or a senator put forward a bill saying, we think America should create the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, here's what we think it should do, here's how we think it should be funded, here's the controls that we have for it, and then we passed that act, and the CIA became a thing. In Israel, there was never a bill put forward, there was never an official establishment of Mossad or any of these things. So there's no oversight. There was no civilian oversight, let alone political oversight. It's just a group of murderers who claim to be an intelligence agency. I know this sounds crazy, but, like, that's actually how Mossad was founded. And for the first several decades of its operation, it had no official designation, no official right to do what they're doing. They're just sort of doing it. It's a mafia. It's basically a mafia. And it continues to this day, more or less in that regard. Only now they are running big tech companies all over America. And of course, they, you know, Israel is very aggressively trying to insinuate their technological prowess into national security all over the world. We covered this, and I first really found out about it when Tom Alexandrovich, was arrested in Vegas for trying to meet an underage girl. And looking up who Tom Alexandrovich is, he was the head of the Israel Golden Dome program, where they were and are basically providing national cybersecurity for the Five Eyes and Germany and all these other. So all of our cybersecurity for all of our countries is basically being offshored to Israel. They're managing it. And by the way, they hate and are trying to destroy us. But they're in charge of our security, and they have access to all of the data of every big tech companies, because the people that run it are, in fact, Mossad agents, fully fledged. And again, you hear the way they talk, and it's not the type of people you would want anywhere near the levers of power, let alone having this inordinate and practically ubiquitous control over all of our tech. And I just got a few pages in. I do encourage you to go read this article at Ultimate Unlimited Hangout, rather, by Whitney Webb. But with that, we go back out to your phone calls. Let's go to Rip in Texas. Says he's black-pilled. Let's go. Rip, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Thanks for taking my call. And first off, I just wanted to lead with an apology to Alex Jones. On, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, he was talking about how Bigley was complaining about how much how you guys are losing money on this stuff. Well, I'm a VIP. I buy a bunch of stuff from you guys, and I cashed out about $400 worth of free credits on Monday or Tuesday this last week. And then he comes on air and, hey, we're losing money. So I kind of feel responsible for that.
Hey, you earned it, Rip. Hey, you earn credits. You spend them, brother. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I wanted to lead off also with a couple of the other callers. Back in 1991, I was in college at Texas A&M, and I was a philosophy student and an economics student. I took these theories of Paul Ehrlich and the population bomb, where, you know, they're trying to limit population growth, et cetera, how, you know, and I posited the depletion rates, how that could be used for Marxism. And so that was kind of the forerunner of all of the big climate change philosophy, yep, et cetera, and that since died. But I fused those two theories together, and I wrote one paper for both my economic resource scarcity class and my Marxism class. And I combined them together, and my professors looked at me like I was crazy. Where'd you come up with this? Well, the next year, the UN passed Agenda 2030. And meanwhile, I'm just like, I'm awake, and I'm just kind of looking at it going, everybody around me was dead asleep. Mm. Nobody did it. And so it's for that one caller, don't get black pill. Just realize that most people, I would say most, I would categorize them the unvaxxed NPCs. The vax people are the NPCs. There's a few of them that are waking up, but there's basically about 20% of us that are thoroughly awake. So don't get disheartened. Realize you're not alone, but most people around you are completely clueless. Mm-hmm. And the other point I wanted to make, the thing about the Masonic Lodge, and Alex kind of went on a tangent this week about it, was he said it's, you know, it's Satanism, et cetera. After I got out of college, I started studying all that stuff that Alex has studied, the Lesser Keys of Solomon, Aleister Crowley, the Kabbalah Unveiled. I started positing all those theories, and one point in those Aleister Crowley books was you need to become a Master Mason. And so I had a vouch who was the nephew of Huey Long, the governor. My family's been in this country for 400 years, so
yeah.
I come from a long, distinguished line of oppressors. And I got in the Masonic Lodge, and I realized that it's all occult. Everything in there, the symbolism, all of it is all occult. I don't associate with it anymore, but there is no such thing as a female Mason. They are members of the Eastern Star, and yes, there is a Masonic contingency for the women, but it has nothing to do with it. And part of the rituals in the Masonic Lodge is they break you down to basically so they can – I guess the analogy would be that they're breaking you down to mold you exactly the way they want you to be. And I'm sitting in there in the Masonic Lodge, and it's FBI agents, DEA, all of these people, and they're looking at me because, like, I have long hair. Mm. I had a ponytail. They're like, who the hell is this guy? But I was just in there to see, look under the hood to see what they were doing. And it is true. They control everything. They're all associated together. It's all part of the Zionist lobby. And so I'm actually at Home Depot. And you went on a tangent about flock cameras, and the only flock cameras in my area are at Home Depot. Hmm. So I'm here to wrap up my survival supplies to survive the next apocalypse. But don't get disheartened. There are about 20% of us, and a few of us are building our little roundabouts to be the warlords in our area. Mm-hmm. So anyway, God bless you, and your products are wonderful. I'm 57. It makes me feel 35. So I mean, ShieldJet, all of it. I'm going to plug you top to bottom, and listeners, buy their stuff.
Thank you very much. That was a great call. I was expecting a black-pilled call. That was a very white-pilled call, though. I really appreciate that. And I can only imagine, you know, you think it's frustrating being awake now. Imagine being awake in 1991, folks. Imagine the torture that must have been. That man's had to wait 36 years just for people to catch up to where he was back then. So we are growing. I mean, our ranks are growing. The awakening is happening. I mean, really, the things we're talking about now are like speed bumps, but the fact is we only notice them because we're going so fast. Like the fact that we're sort of upset or frustrated that people are getting distracted by these claims that don't have proof. It's like, hey, at least people are questioning things. At least people are looking at things under the hood and inspecting it, not just taking the official story for granted. So, you know, as far as we have to go, we have come a great, great distance together, right? You and us and myself and Alex Jones and all of us, we have Alex Jones in particular. I mean, it's like a little tugboat pulled this, you know, cruise ship behind us slowly but surely, turned it around and got it going in the right direction. We just need to make sure we stay on course. So thank you very much for that call. And thank you for your support. Please do support us at thealexjonesstore.com. The products really are good. And you hear people rage about them for that reason. Let's go now to John in Missouri, I believe this is. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Hi, Harrison.
Howdy.
I absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
The first thing I have to say is my 13-year-old daughter comes to me and says, Dad, I need more methylene blue. I need more CMOS. And I love that she gets the benefit, and she doesn't even understand how good it is.
Fantastic.
So I used to have to go home at night. Because way back in the day, what you're talking about, early 90s, I had to go home and listen to shortwave at night after I got home from work to listen. It wasn't even InfoWars yet.
Right.
But I've been listening for that long, and I appreciate the fact my children and grandchildren are now vaccinated because of information that I got from alternative sources like InfoWars, like Mike Adams, and like Jerry Tenpenny, and all these people. I used to listen on live, and it's shocking that what that gentleman before me just said. People don't have a clue, but I've had a clue for a long time, and it's been a benefit to my entire family, and I appreciate you. I miss Chase. Man, that guy could run off a spiel. He wasn't playing. It was off the top of his head. He was awesome.
He's a character, man.
And so is Alex.
I miss Chase as well. You know, we got to hang out over the weekend. He was in the debates that we did over the weekend that should be coming out later this month and into October or September, I guess, is the next month. But they'll be released periodically until October. And Chase is on there, and he's in his Chase form. He was cracking everybody up. It was very fun. And you know, I saw somebody on X who was trying to basically he was listing all the people that have been at InfoWars before, were at InfoWars at one point, and was basically like, you know, look at all these people that have left. And it's like, well, first of all, each one's in particular, and some of them left for good reasons, some of them for bad reasons, some were fired, some were quit. It's, you know, all totally different. You can't, frame them all as like leaving InfoWars and how this is just not true. But the fact is, all you're really pointing out is the number of incredible talents that have come through at InfoWars and usually got their start at InfoWars. I mean, hell, Candace Owens used to only come on InfoWars. We were the only ones that had her on until she, you know, got her blow up and, you know, went on to Daily Wire or whatever. But I would, I would tag her in the InfoWars column of just like people who got their start at InfoWars. It's Savannah Hernandez. It's obviously Owen Schroyer, it's David Nye, like all these people. Yeah, we were hanging out. Chase Geyser. I mean, the amount of talent that's come through the Alex Jones Network, InfoWars, is truly staggering and humbling when you know how many incredible people have not just, you know, been affected and or worked for InfoWars, but, you know, I pointed out, look at the most powerful voices in American media today, and at least two of them credit their awakening directly to Alex Jones. Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan are two of the biggest voices in American politics, certainly the biggest voices on the American right. Both of them were directly woken up by Alex Jones himself. Like, they would not be on the path that they're on without Alex Jones. They would not be saying the things that they're saying or taking the trajectory that they did without Alex Jones there waking them up to the reality and really setting. I mean, he is the Yoda, right? He is the Obi-Wan Kenobi of this whole movement. It's Alex Jones at the end of the day, which is why it's such a privilege and a humbling act to even be on this truly legendary platform. Thank you so much for your support, John, and God bless your family. Keep them healthy for us. We got time for one more call. We'll go to Pedro in California. Has some solutions for us. We'd love to hear him. Go ahead, Pedro. Thank you for holding.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Harrison? This is Pedro from Paradise, a.k.a. Pillow Talk Pete. How you doing, man? I just wanted to say one thing. I said, you know what? We all appreciate you so very much because, you know, your job is to look into the toilets every day and decide which one's got to go. You know, so thank you. We just want to say thank you for that. Yeah, and you know what? I called last year to talk with Chase, and I told Chase, I said, Chase, I got all the supplements in my cupboard, and I ran through them. It was funny, and I got the methylene blue, and I said, Chase, that don't work. And he laughed, and we laughed, and, you know, sometimes this stuff doesn't hit right away. But what I wanted to say was it was incredible. Probably in, let's see, I talked to him in August, and when in October or November, I had this planter's wart on my fingertip, and I saw it go away in a period of 30 days. And I had that planter's wart for almost 3 years, and I remember you saying something that it helped eczema. So I've been trying to tell people. Sometimes I tell people about Alex Jones, and they don't want to hear it, but when you can come at them, like, you guys sell some of the best stuff on earth, hands down. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. But, wow, what a great, I'm sorry, we got it in the show. What a great call to end on. That was fantastic. I wish I'd gone to you earlier, Pedro. You got to call back in. I want to talk to you more. So appreciate the calls, everybody, for calling in and joining us. We'll see you back on Monday. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us and join the ranks. Join the ranks.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.